The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Because Margaret Barrett, Managing Director of Mortgage Navigators, is with us, and she's going to have her hands full because we're inundated with questions. Margaret, how are you?
Very well. Sound like I might be under a bit of pressure.
You're going to be kept busy. Before we lash into the questions, the thing I wanted to just ask you, there has been an awful lot of talk in relation to mortgages about green mortgages and specific rates for houses that get certain BAR ratings and all the rest of it. How big a part of the market is it and how valuable is it? How much value is in it?
I suppose it's probably one of the bigger parts of the market because the first time buyers are probably herded towards the new build properties, Anton, and that's literally just down to a supply issue and I suppose a supply of previously owned properties also coming to the market. The good news is, I suppose, that the banks have recently actually, in fact, reduced their interest rates again on the green interest rate. So we now have a 3.45% interest rate that's fixed for 4 years currently in the market. And I suspect there's probably more to come with the ECB meeting in June to review the monetary policy. So it's a good, cheap interest rate. And I suppose it's applicable to properties that have an energy rating or a BER rating of B3 and above. We also had a lender last week as well that reviewed their interest rates over the range of BER rating and I suppose reduced their interest rates on some of the properties that had a lower interest or a lower BER rating.
Is B3 difficult to achieve?
A lot of the newer properties, all new properties, I suppose, have an A2 rating. For older properties, it's not actually significantly difficult to get it up to a B3 rating. A lot of the older properties are probably maybe a D or a C rated. So change of windows, further insulation, I suppose insulating the roof can bring that property up. And the good news here is that we also now have a range of sustainability grants available through the SSEI. And also there's a grant available as well for, I suppose, the vacant home scheme. And together those could probably, I suppose the sustainable grant can be 25,000 to 30,000, and the vacant home grant is now up to 50,000. So I suppose it's a way of encouraging people to also look at previously owned properties.
As I said, we're going to make you work for your living today in the amount of questions that have come in. I have both a contractor income, which I do my own tax return on, as well as a PAYE income. Can both be considered in full for a mortgage application? How does a personal loan impact on the application?
Yeah, so we see this a lot actually in Mortgage Navigators because we deal a lot with contractors and we see just particularly this kind of customer that may be a locum medic or a locum pharmacist that are locuming their hours to over the weekend or extra hours and they're also employed, let's say, with the HSE. The answer is yes. So the assessment criteria is slightly different. So the contractor part is technically a self-employed element. So we're looking for Form 11s, last 3 years Form 11s and the current contract. And for the PAYE part of the income, we're looking for the salary cert to be completed and their last 3 years employment detail summary. And that together will tell us their entire total income that we can assess.
And then the second bit, how does a personal loan impact on that application?
And it does have an impact and sometimes it can negatively impact on some applications. So the assessment criteria that it impacts is called net disposable income. And net disposable income tells us how much money you've left over at the end of every month to service debt. So obviously if you have, let's say, a car loan or a personal loan or a home improvement loan, that's reducing the amount of your net disposable income that's available to service debt. If your mortgage is quite significant, we will require a decent net disposable income multiple to service the mortgage on its own. So sometimes together it might be a deficit.
And what do they look? Is it double debt cover? Is that kind of what they look for?
Yeah, so it's I suppose there's a lot of criteria. So like if you've kids, actually it reduces down your net disposable income as well because they don't come cheap. If you've childcare, it reduces down your income. If you're in a relationship that is now separated and there's a maintenance payment, it also reduces it down. So it's actually very case by case specific actually, Anton.
To what extent can a lender, what can a lender access in terms of your lending? Let's say you have a credit union account and of course you would be very eager to tell your bank that you have such a thing. But if you forgot, is there a way that they can find out?
If you're transacting through your current account, we will see it. So we're assessing your current account over the last six, maybe sometimes 12 months. And we're looking at actually every transaction that has occurred. Sounds very now stalkerish, but we're looking at every transaction. So if we see a transaction that's going to a credit union account or a Revolut account, or if it's going to an account abroad, we're actually checking to see where it is and do we have corresponding paperwork.
Does that mean that if you're looking ahead and you're thinking, well, maybe in the next 3 or 4 years, I might want to buy a house, you should avoid blowing several thousand euro through your current account in Vegas because that'll be seen? Virginia, do they take that kind of thing into account?
Look, we could, I'm sure, mitigate that one-off splurge as a one-off spending. Never again to be repeated.
But do they look for not so much your capacity to cover debt? Yeah. Do they look at spending patterns and make value judgments on you
not
as a person?
All. Not at all. No, absolutely. So what we're looking at when we're assessing a set of current accounts or savings account is we're assessing to ensure that the mortgage repayment can be paid every month. And that's evidenced over the last 6 months. So look, we're not going to be holding anyone accountable for the way they live.
Text saying, I have 10 years left on my mortgage and I retire in 5 years. I could pay off the balance with my pension fund. How else would you advise clearing it prior to retirement? Yeah. It's relatively manageable at the moment. Should I just continue to pay it off over the remaining term?
Yeah. So this person really needs to take a look at their current mortgage, right? We now have, as we just called out, a 3.45% interest rate on the market. I suspect that they're probably not on a 3.45%. My advice here would be to check the interest rate, check the balance, speak with a broker actually, and make like I would be actually reviewing to see could we switch this mortgage out into a cheaper interest rate, keep the mortgage repayment the same, and in turn that will automatically reduce the term. My advice here would be try to get debt free before retirement age. That lump sum was there originally to help you retire, and we should probably try safeguard that as much as possible. There's many lenders also have an overpayment facility, Anton. Some lenders allow you to pay over 10% on your monthly mortgage repayment. Other lenders allow you to pay 10% lump sum into the mortgage principal. Again, reducing that term down and keeping the monthly mortgage repayments.
Although I suppose it depends on what they mean by with their pension fund. If it's the tax-free withdrawal, that lump sum, that mightn't be a bad way to use it because you're unlikely to get 3.5% or more.
100%. And not at all. But it would be better to keep that lump sum for retirement purposes rather than servicing debt.
Mortgage question, please. We have €500,000 from selling a home with no mortgage. We are looking to purchase a home for €800,000. If we get a mortgage for three and the property is only €750,000, can we get the mortgage for three and use the €50,000 for renovations? So I assume this is asking if a bank says you're signed off for €800,000, can we buy it €750,000 and pocket the €50,000?
Yeah. Well, okay. So the way I read that slightly different. So
word pocket wasn't in your interpretation, was it not?
No, it's not. No. So I suppose if for all applications, right? Okay. So of course you can get a mortgage to bridge the gap. But what this person may have forgotten is that there's costs associated with purchasing a property. So if they're buying this house for €750,000, there is a 1% stamp duty that has to be paid, which is €7,500 in this case. There is legal fees, which is €2,500. So that house will actually cost about €760,000 to purchase, right? Okay. Furthermore, a valuation has to be done on the property. If it's a previously owned property, they'll have to undergo a structural engineer's report. So again, there could be the bones of another €700 or €800 there. If they're borrowing €300,000 to bridge that gap, right, and they have €500,000 left over from the sale of their own property, they actually have only €40,000 left over. So they don't have the €50,000 to renovate the property. If the property requires works and it's structural, the bank will need to see a structural engineer's report. To answer it in a roundabout way, then going back to your pocketing of the €50,000, no, you cannot pocket €50,000. Of course, you can borrow more, and under the assumption that you're going to do renovations, as in, you know, non-structural, and the bank won't check to make sure that you've painted that room red, you know what I mean? But it is the issue, of course, with
when you take out a mortgage. The fact of the scale of the numbers and the scale of the duration does tend to blind you to the fact of you still have to pay that €50,000 back.
Absolutely.
And you still have to pay interest on the €50,000.
Absolutely. And whilst the interest rate might be cheaper than a standard home improvement, it will actually cost you more because it's over a longer term.
A text asking, how fast can you get mortgage approval and is it worth getting a broker? And if so, what's the average cost? You have skin in this game.
I'm going to be very biased in this question and I'm going to say absolutely you should get a broker. But my reason, I suppose, for saying that is that if you walk into your local lender or your bank that you've been banking with for the last 30 or 40 years, they're not going to tell you that down the road has a cheaper interest rate. Whereas a broker has, very little loyalty to any lender. The loyalty is to the customer. And of course, we're going to advise you of all of the interest rates. And, you know, sometimes banks have different offerings as well. Sometimes it's not just about the interest rate. So we'll advise you about all the lenders' products. how fast can you get an approval? This absolutely varies from lender to lender. Lots of it depends on how fast you get your paperwork together is number one, right? Okay. Because your broker will need maybe 2 to 3 working days to write a credit paper and submit it into the lender. Some lenders are actually turning around an approval in 72 hours.
Is that quick?
Yeah.
Text asking, hi, we're paying cash for rent. Is there a way to have this recognised for a mortgage? Any kind of proof of payment?
Yeah, look, that's very tricky, right? Okay, so yes is the answer, right? If we can see the cash withdrawal coming out at the same date every month for the last 12 months, it's quite obvious then it's for rental payment, right? Okay, if that's supported with a rental book, of course we can assess it. But sometimes what can happen is that it can be very ad hoc and it's very hard to piece that transaction together. The rule of thumb, folks, is that if you're going for a mortgage application, best version of yourself, it's like going for an interview. If you're paying cash in rent, try set up a standing order or a direct debit so that at least we can see it.
And again, that it's there on the account for an extended period of time.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm based in New York. I've wanted to move home to purchase property in Ireland so that at some stage I can come back home. Can I get a mortgage with my US-based income?
Answer here again is yes, and it's called an expat mortgage. Not every lender provide this facility. The difference here is that we're assessing your income as you're based in the US for sure, but we're also looking to see when you return to Ireland what's the potential of getting something similar and what is the salary on that role. Okay, so there's a little bit of a story to be told. The criteria for this mortgage is slightly different to that of a first-time buyer here in Ireland. The loan to value is the biggest one. It's a 70% loan to value over a max term of 25 years. So it's a 30% deposit. So it can be quite hefty. It can be quite hefty. Interest rate here, though, is good news. You will get the private dwelling house interest rate. So it's not a holiday home interest rate or a buy-to-let interest rate. So going back to that 3.45%.
But you'd really want to have equity built up in a US property to become to sell,
well,
wouldn't
it's
you?
Not even equity. You'd actually have to have a cash deposit. So like it actually has to be sitting in an account so that it can be transferred towards the closing of this sale.
Oh yeah, because they wanted to buy before they came
exactly,
home, so there's
exactly.
No point selling up.
Furthermore, the big one other thing for that client is that you every applicant has to prove demonstrated or proven repayment ability of a mortgage repayment over 6 months. This client also has to prove it, but it is now separate to the rental that they're paying or the mortgage they're paying, so it has to be actually savings.
Margaret, thank you very much. Margaret Barrett, Managing Director of Mortgage Navigator.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.